Anybody want to do my intro or shall I just do it?
I could do it.
Hello, Jay.
Okay. Hello and welcome to Gem the GM. This is a podcast about all things escape room from a behind the scenes games master perspective. In this episode, this fantastic, clever, talented bunch of people are going to be continuing with the playing of the virtual escape rooms from Escape This Podcast. And the series is called Children of Mysaris, and we're on episode 6. And I'll stop there because Gemma's going to need to re-record this intro anyway, because that was rubbish.
That was actually very good. I'm amazed you remembered all that.
The dawn of Mysaris arrives. The souls of the sacrificed let us rise. Captain, medium, keeper, hostess, director, manicure, L for the pure.
So, there's some mysterious substance being pumped through the town, brainwashing the citizens. You told Thomasina to grab as many ingredients from their playroom as they could, then hide somewhere and try to cook up an antidote. You don't know if such a thing is possible, and of course, they were brainwashed themselves, so may not see the urgency. But at least they'll be safer than if they had just sat around waiting for the children of Mysaris to sacrifice them. The question still remains. If everyone who breathes in this brainwashing mist is affected, why not you, James?
Why not indeed?
What have you possibly done to make yourself immune when nobody else is?
I had my COVID vaccine. That's what it is.
You suppose you'll have to worry about that later. There's still one more profession on the list of sacrifices, which means one more person you can rescue. Who is it?
Director.
And where do you think you'll find them?
In the swimming pool. No? Maybe the film studio?
Is there a swimming pool?
I don't know.
The film studio. Well, that one was pretty easy, isn't it? To the east of town, there used to be an enormous bus depot, but Peter's Point never grew as much as the town planners predicted, so all the buses were eventually scrapped and the depot abandoned. Then some location scouts for movies visited and decided that Peter's Point was the perfect spot for a fancy film studio. You yourself have been an extra a couple of times. You remember?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You enter the depot building, passing a very few parked cars on your way in. They must have finished early today. Normally, they keep going well after dark, and it's only about 7 o'clock. But you walk down a broad hallway and keep your eyes peeled for someone who looks like a director or a Mysaris child, but you don't really expect to see one of those. You head up some stairs and through a door. You find yourself standing at the back of a soundstage. The top half of the room is the actual stage, and on it, you see a pile of tusks and bones. There are four logs surrounding a fire pit. And there's a rock with animal skins over it. They must be filming something with a prehistoric setting. Behind all of that is a green screen covering the entire wall. And also on the stage are two cameras. One camera on a stand and one on a dolly. The bottom half of the room is the business end, with several standing lights scattered about the place, a boom microphone leaning against the left wall, and an open case of makeup against the right that's about as big as a computer. Lying on the floor not far from you is a discarded clapperboard and what looks like a script. Most importantly, immediately in front of you, there's a director's chair. And in it, a director. Rob, you're Director Proofman. Do you like to be addressed as that, or do you have another name to go by?
I prefer Mr. Proofman, if you don't mind.
Okay. To be honest, you barely notice that there's someone in the room with you. You're too busy thinking, planning, making this film your magnum opus in your head to worry about other people. It isn't until James grabs you by the shoulder and shakes you that you even look up. James, you're not wasting any time. You ask about any mysterious strangers and what information they tried to get out of Director Proofman, but you have no idea what James is talking about. You don't have time to identify everyone you speak to as mysterious or not mysterious. But the only people who have talked to you today have been asking about the movie, and that's it. Yet, Director P... No, what do you want to be called? Mr. Proofman.
Mr. Proofman, please.
Yet, Mr. Proofman is definitely one of the sacrifices, because the door you came through is already closed and locked behind you. You sigh, you give a hurried explanation to Mr. Proofman about what's going on, and you get ready to break your way out of another room.
Hmm.
Okay. Don't worry, Mr. Proofman, we'll save you.
Yep. I don't think you know your left and right.
She's dissing my drawing.
Apparently it's an abstract representation of the room.
Exactly.
Quiet you.
I'd like to examine the chair that Mr. Proofman is sitting on. Examine while Mr. he's still Proofman. Sitting on it.
Well, I'm still, that's fine. I don't have to move, yep.
I'll just get really close and just look at the chair.
All right. So, James, you thought that director's chairs normally just had the word director on the back of them, but Mr. Proofman clearly went to a bit more effort to get theirs personalised. It says, Director Proofman's chair.
This is not ridiculous. It's my chair.
Yes, we can see that by the giant sign on it.
Seems a bit arrogant, this Mr. Proofman.
Yeah.
Well, I am a great film director.
Oh, you know. Have you won any Oscars?
How many Oscars have you won?
Well,
zero, same as you.
Yeah. Yeah, so is it a bit.
I must be equally as good of a film director as you.
Let's have a look at the door we came in.
The door handle looks like that of a hotel room with a spot underneath where you can use a swipe card to unlock it. There's also a keypad with the numbers 0 to 9 as an alternative way to unlock it. Mr. Proofman, it's really hard because in my notes I've called you Director P all the way through and now I need to change it. Right. Mr. Proofman, you go to your jacket to get your ID swipe card, but it's not there.
What?
Someone must have taken it and you were so absorbed in your own work that you didn't even notice.
Careless. No. Can't get the staff, can you?
No, you certainly can't.
Incompetent.
Yes.
Oh, I feel like we're going to have fun arguing with Mr. Proofman in this episode.
Director Proofman, what's the key code for this door?
I haven't got a clue.
Oh.
I don't deal with unimportant details like that. I'm trying to make a movie. I have all sorts of other things running through my head.
God, I hate him.
I'm not particularly fond of you either, and I've only known you for a couple of minutes.
What's the name of the movie you're making?
Year Zero.
Year Zero. Okay.
To match the number of Oscars he's won.
Silence. You young upstart.
I'm just going to study the film set. I'd like to look at the makeup.
Of course you could.
The case appears to contain a small selection of emergency makeup in case any comes off of the actors in the middle of a scene. There's a blusher, lipstick and concealer, and every different product and colour is labelled with a different actor's name. Mr. Proofman, you should probably know them all, but you only really pay attention to the characters' names, not the actors. Characters are much more important.
Indeed they are.
Okay.
Well, next, lights. Yeah. Look at the lights on stands.
Yeah, so there is at least 10 enormous standing light fixtures, but they're all turned off at the moment, and they're all pointed to different areas of the stage.
All right.
Are they plugged in? Can we switch them on?
Yeah, you could switch them on if you wanted to.
Can we switch them on, please? I want to see what they look like.
You want to switch them all on?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. They're all on.
They're all on. And what does that tell us? Are they different colours or the same colours, same brightness?
No, they're all different. Different colours, different brightnesses.
Is it shining on anything in particular in the stage? Does it highlight anything interesting?
No, not particularly.
Maybe we need to know which of the 10 lights to turn on.
Mm. highlight something. Okay. Shall we move on for now?
Let's move on for now.
Boom mic.
So it's a long stick with a microphone at the end and a cord wrapped around it. The cord ends with a digital recording device and a pair of headphones.
We put the headphones on and listen to what's on the recording.
Good idea. Like in a museum when there's just little messages played through it.
Absolutely. To your right is Mr. Proofman, who has won 0 Oscars.
Yes, you wait. One day I'm going to be the greatest film director there ever was.
Okay. Good one.
And you'll still be said, you'll still be doing escape rooms.
I don't know what you're talking about. What's an escape room? This is serious stuff. It's not a game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So get on with it then.
So, James, if you put the headphones on and press play, it appears to be blank.
You really are very rude, you people. You have no respect for art.
I have lots of respect for art, just not for what you do.
Oh, if I could, I would march you off this film set. Yeah, unfortunately, we're locked in together, so I can't.
Sucks to be you.
I already predict that there's going to be a lot of editing required from Gemma in this sense.
That's getting cut.
We haven't got off to a good start, have we? We're being mischievous in this one.
James gets cut a lot because he's too quiet.
Yeah, it's because he's too quiet.
I just can't hear him.
Don't play Speak him. Up, old man.
What's that, Sonny?
Sometimes it's quite good as well. And he's sometimes here when I'm editing and I'm like, oh, that was really funny. Cut.
Mean.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like you're whispering.
Great, doesn't it? Like you're sat next to each other. If you're audible, Gemma, why is James not?
I don't know.
I've got a good strong diaphragm.
And a louder voice.
You need to work on your diaphragm, James.
I don't have one, I think.
You need to project.
I don't have one.
Right, what do you want to look at next?
I'd like to look at the script.
It's definitely the script for this movie. It's set in prehistoric times when people lived in caves. The group of hunters is obsessively trying to kill a colossal beast that roams the countryside, devastating every tribe it crosses. It's a story about the killer instinct of man and how it can't coexist with another species and only wants to conquer. The script itself is covered in hastily scribbled notes. Based on their content, you believe they're written by the cinematographer. Most are so messy you can't even make out the words. But in big letters on a bookmarked page, you read, "Color temperature is off. Focus blue on Udra."
Who wrote this? Garbage.
Is there a blue light among the 10 lights?
Would you say, sorry, focus blue on what?
Udra.
Udra. She's the name of the lead female in my film.
Ah.
All right.
That's her character name. When you switched on all of the lights, you don't really know what you're doing, of course, but they look like there may have been 2 lights that could blue something.
We don't even know where Udra is. Let's look at the clapperboard.
The clapperboard is pretty typical. It's just a big black and white rectangle. Printed on it are a whole bunch of sections where people can write the current film's information. There's a director section, the name of the film, which is Year 0, today's date, which is 2/1, and there's also sections for the scene number and take number, but those are blank.
2/1, second or the first?
2/1, or the first or the second, who knows?
Mm. What country are we in?
Technically Australia, but it doesn't matter. It could be 2nd of January or 1st of February, it doesn't matter. I guess it should be Australia, because in this country, it would be dark by 7 o'clock, whereas it's not in this story, so...
Can we look at the stage itself in more detail? Is there anything, apart from what's on it, is there anything else?
The stage platform is slightly higher than the regular floor, and it's painted to look like rock and dirt. Doesn't appear to be easily liftable anywhere, so probably nothing hidden under the floorboards in this one.
You have my logs and fire pit. You should have a look at those, maybe.
Nah, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to look at the cameras.
Mr. Proofman can, like, fully join in, you know. You don't have to only speak when you know something.
He's too lazy. He doesn't want to get out of his chair.
Exactly. I'm quite comfortable in my chair. My director's chair.
All right. So there's no actual fire at the moment, nor any kindling or anything. There's just a whole big load of soot.
And the four logs surrounding it?
They're big and they're sturdy. They're cylindrical logs placed evenly around the fire pit. Sitting on them are a few things that don't look like they really fit the scene. They're snacks. Quite modern snacks, in fact. Mr. Proofman explains that the caterer came by at the end of shooting today and offered all the still-positioned actors some cakes and donuts after a job well done. Waste of time, though, in your opinion. The actors never eat much, which is why there are half-eaten snacks lying everywhere.
Interesting.
What half-eaten snacks can we see on there?
As there are various cakes and donuts, every single one has just a tiny chunk taken out of them. Nobody appears to have actually finished their snack. And there's just a light smear of lipstick where their lips touch the sugary surface. Interestingly, though, each lipstick seems to be a slightly different shade, varying from deep red to bright pink to brown and nude.
A first action I would suggest would be to try and find out from the makeup case which colour Udra wears, and then link that up to the position around the fire of her donut slash cake, and then shine the blue light on that position.
We can't do that yet.
Why not?
So we only have the actors' names, and Udra is a character name.
Oh, yeah.
We need to find out her actor name.
There's a missing key.
Find out her name, okay.
Stupid Mr. Proofman, if he actually paid attention, give us his information.
I don't need to pay attention to details like that. I pay attention to the movie.
Well, we did already say that Mr. Proofman knows the character names very well because he only pays attention to the characters.
Mm.
He doesn't pay attention to the actors' names.
So we need to know what actor plays Udra.
How are we going to find that out? Is there a cast list in the front of the script?
No.
Let's look at some more things.
What about the cameras?
Which one?
The camera on the dolly first.
The dolly itself looks like a robotic-looking golf cart. And I have... this is not an image supplied by the show, but I did just Google it and download one for you.
Yeah, let me all just Google that stuff.
Oh, yes.
It's like a trolley. Got it.
The camera is sitting on a little stand at the front, and the whole thing is on a rail that runs across the entire front of the stage. In fact, there's a hefty six-letter combination lock attached to one of the dolly's wheels, connecting it to a part of the rail so that it doesn't move around on its own.
Look at the camera on a stand.
It can turn on and off. It can spin around. Okay. You can adjust the zoom and lots of things, really. But you can't physically lift this one. It's very heavy and very expensive. And Mr. Proofman tells you that you are not allowed to ruin it. Beside it, there's a small monitor, which is all hooked up to the green screen. So it shows both what's being filmed and the generated background at the same time.
So can we see that, what the generated background is an image of?
Yes, you can. If you switch on the monitor and the camera, you see that nothing changes on the green screen itself, but on the monitor, you see an amazing image. You can see all of the things on the stage in front of you, like the logs in the fire pit, but behind them, there's now a super realistic cave tying the whole scene together. You notice an arrow button in the corner, so you click on it and you get a different background. Suddenly, it's a moving outdoor setting with grass and trees swaying in the wind and deers, rabbits and boars walking around amongst the plants.
All right.
What about the pile of tusks and bones on set? We haven't looked through that yet.
They're fake, obviously, but huge and heavy. The tusks are as long and as thick as your legs, and the bones seem to have come from a variety of creatures and a variety of body parts. For example, you can see skulls, spines, and even hooves.
Okay. Let's look at the rock with the animal skins.
All right, so the skins are covering the rock. So if you take a look at those first, they are draped over it. And to Mr. Proofman, actually, the rock looks a little bit too covered in these skins. He knows the film pretty well. And you don't believe all of these are meant to be in the cave scenes. You'd be able to identify each skin, and they all have a tag with a mixture of letters and numbers on.
Can we look closer at the tags on the animal skins?
Yeah, there are quite a lot of skins and tags. They each have a combination of letters or sometimes numbers. They don't necessarily spell any words or anything. They don't seem to make any pattern or make any sense.
All right, can we look at the green screen with all the grass seed and all the animals wandering around? Can we identify specific animals in the scene and see if we can find matching skins for them?
Yes. So yeah. I did tell you what animals were on there. Can you remember what I said?
Deer and rabbit.
Yes, I did say that, but there's also...
boar.
Deer, rabbits and boars.
Okay, can we find skins associated with those animals?
You look through the skins that you've got and you can identify that you've got deer skins, rabbit skins, boar skins and fox skins. Mr. Proofman tells you that the fox skins shouldn't be there based on the animals that are on the green screen.
Mm.
What's the number on the fox skin?
Well, if you separate out the fox skins, there are four of them in total. And if you take a look at the tags, there are all sorts of letters and numbers on them. The first one has an E and an A. The next one has the word floor, F-L-O-O-R. Another has the word age, A-G-E. And the last one has the letter R, the number 2, the letter S, and then the letter T.
Put your ear to the stage floor. So someone needs to try and lay down on the stage floor and listen to see if they can hear anything through it.
I'll do it.
All right, James, you lay down on the stage floor. You press your ear to it and you can hear something. It sounds like voices, but they're far too quiet. You can't catch any of the words.
I think we have a tool that might help with that.
Is there like a hole in the stage somewhere we can poke the boom mic through to get closer to the source of the sound?
No.
All right.
I think if we hold the mic close enough to the stage, we can probably pick it up because the boom mic's quite sensitive, isn't it?
Sure.
Let's try that then.
All right. The boom swings around awkwardly as you pick it up. No wonder they don't let just anybody do this. But you eventually manoeuvre it so the microphone part is pointed at the stage floor where you heard the voices. You press a couple of buttons on the digital audio recorder and it's picking up sound. You put the headphones on and listen. Two voices, muffled, but you can definitely make out the words. See you tomorrow. Oh, will Hugo be here? Hugo, didn't you hear? He was fired this morning. You're kidding. What happened? It was so stupid. Diane found out he'd written his initials on one of the costumes and you could see it in the big last scene of the Crime Time season finale. She went crazy at him, said he'd ruined the whole show. I guess she didn't realise sticking your initials somewhere in a show or a movie is a tradition for the art department. Is it? Oh yeah, you always make it tiny so no one will see it unless they know where to look. Usually it's somewhere behind the main character's head. The movie they're doing upstairs, you know, the actress, Anita Long? Yeah, you didn't. Yep, right behind her head.
Maybe Anita Long is Udra.
Seems like
he the lead actress's head. Maybe that's something we'll get if we can shine the lights on where she would sit.
So, should we try this sequence now? Looking in the makeup bag for Anita Long's shade of lipstick.
You spot Anita's name written beside a blusher that's called Burnt Berry, a lipstick that's called Earth Brown, and a concealer that's called Sunset Skin.
All right. Can we take the lipstick Earth Brown and see if it matches up to any of the snacks around the fire?
Yep. You look closely at the cakes and things left on the logs, searching for one with the Earth Brown lipstick stain. And you find it. It's a barely touched cupcake sitting on the end of the leftmost log. This must be where Anita sat.
Do we know Anita is definitely the lead actress?
Anita Long is the lead actress.
Okay, good. I knew that, of course, but just testing you.
Anita Long does not play Udra.
Plot twist. Okay, well, I'm not sure this is irrelevant, but can we look behind, I don't know, does this make sense? Look behind where Anita Long's head would be. So find the snack that relates to her around the fireplace and look for somewhere that might be behind her from a camera angle. And look.
Haven't we already worked out what snack goes with Anita, though, from the lipstick?
Yeah. I'm saying look near that snack for some initials that Hugo wrote somewhere on the set.
Yeah, I understand what you mean.
It might be relevant.
Anita, all there is green screen.
Just green screen behind her. Right, okay.
We haven't actually looked under my director's chair yet. I wonder if there might be anything under my chair.
It is a kind of standard director's chair, which is kind of got those wooden legs, you know, that cross over like a canvas type chair. Yeah. If there was anything hiding under it, you'd be able to see it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we think Udra is a female character?
Yes.
Right. Are there any other female, like any other actresses' names in the makeup kit?
Yes.
One or more than one?
More than one. Probably about six or seven.
Can we look through the script and see if we can find a bit which appears to be... we don't know what character Anita... Anita Long is the lead.
Mm-hmm.
We know the name of the lead character.
No.
That's the actress, isn't it? Anita Long.
Yeah.
Can we find that out from the script?
Probably not.
I guess you could, but you don't need to.
Okay.
I would be making it up.
Okay, so I was going to say, can we look through the script to find a bit which appears to be a long monologue, but it sounds like that's not relevant.
No, you've established where Anita sits. And that's a good thing. That's
okay, all you need.
Fine.
Remind us what was on the clapperboard again.
So there is a space for the movie title, the director's name, the date, the scene number, and the take number. The movie name, director's name, and the date is all filled in. The scene and the take are not.
Can we go back to look at the monitor on the camera on the stand and look behind where Anita's head would be from that camera angle on the green screen, like in the cave scene?
You swivel the camera to roughly where Anita's face would be, assuming that she's of average height, and zoom right in. Through the camera, all you see is the bright green of the green screen, but if you turn to look at the monitor, you can actually see the zoomed-in image of the cave background. Amongst the cracks and crevices of the cave wall, you see something that doesn't belong. Some tiny letters have been drawn on the image. J loves T. Loves is spelled A-L-U-V-S.
J loves T.
J loves T. I mean, we could try those six letters in the six-letter lock on the dolly, I suppose.
The lock comes off.
Hey.
Ooh.
That makes perfect sense.
The dolly can now move along the rail.
Okay.
What do we? Yeah, what will moving it along the rail achieve?
Need to what end? Can we move it along a bit and see if there's anything on the ground underneath where it was previously?
Yeah, you can, and there is not.
Awesome.
Do you know what, that was really good that you did. You just choose the cave scene randomly when you were doing that.
And because it seemed like it would make more sense for sitting around the fire.
Yeah, because I've got a whole bit for if you do it without the monitor on, and also if you do it with the other background on as well.
Okay.
You just went straight to the right answer.
What happens if we focus the camera on the pile of bones and tusks?
This is the camera on the stand, yeah? You can't actually...
Let's try the camera on the stand, yeah, for that.
Well, you don't see anything. I mean, you can examine all of the bones and tusks if you want to, so the camera wouldn't really pick up anything that you couldn't see yourself.
Okay. Have we actually examined them thoroughly enough?
Well, you saw the variety of bones.
You have, yes. What I've told you about them is all there is to see.
Does the dolly camera seem to be switched on? Is it showing an image?
No, you can't switch this one on.
And it moves along a horizontal rail across the stage?
So in the actual fire pit itself, there wasn't anything in there, you say?
There was lots of soot.
So can we figure out from the script, like where, like from the stage directions, where Uja is supposed to sit?
No.
Okay.
Bit too easy.
But you do have somebody that knows the characters excellently.
All right, Mr. Proofman, where does Uja stand or sit on the stage?
He sits on the center middle log.
All right, then. We're cooking. Let's do it.
Shine the blue lights on it.
All right, so do you remember that I said that you have two lights that could potentially blue something?
Yeah.
Yeah? So tell me what you want to do.
I mean, surely this is a situation where we, in a real escape room, we could just do trial and error. Do one, do the other, do both.
So you're doing one and then you're doing the other. So you and James fumble to get a bluish light aimed at Udra's position, but you're having trouble angling it. It keeps hitting the back of the director's chair instead. It's kind of distorting the letters on the back of it.
It's always in the way.
Yeah. When you, obviously you're just trying one light, and you can, it really highlights the O in director, the OF in Proofman's, and the H in chair. You give up on that one and try the other light, hoping that the angle will work better. But once again, you land it right on the chair again.
Unbelievable.
This light highlights the letters R and T in director, and then P, N and S in Proofman's, and the I in chair. Very frustrated, you give up on aiming the lights properly. It must take an expert to get it right.
Maybe it's an anagram.
Well, the first one spells hoof.
It does spell hoof, yeah. Sprint, I think it makes, doesn't it? Hoof, sprint?
Hoof. Yeah, it's print, isn't it?
Hoof print. Hoof print. Hoof print, yes.
Well done.
You can make them sprint if you want to.
Okay, right, let's go to the pile of tusks and bones, find some hooves, and look for some hoof prints.
Well, we can use the soot to make hoof prints, can't we?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
That must be what it's there for.
It's So you go over to the Tusks and Bones, you scoop up the hooves, and you dip them into the soot. You make prints on the stage floor, and interesting, you expected all the hoof prints to come out looking the same, but each one makes a distinct image. You make four prints in total, and the first looks like an S for sugar, the second is a 7, the third is a T for tango, and the fourth is a 3.
It's our special bit of magical code.
We've got S7T3.
Scene 7, take 3, to put on the clapperboard.
Yeah.
Clever. Is there a bit of chalk attached to the clapper? Can we write on it?
No, there isn't.
We could look that scene up in the
script.
Script, though, couldn't we?
Yeah. Good idea.
Look up scene 7. No.
Hang on, we can't look up take 3 in the script.
We can't look up take, but we can still look up scene 7, could we not?
Have we got anything recorded? Any of it? Any of the film footage there we can have a look at?
No.
Through one of the monitors? No, okay.
Can we use some lipstick or something to write on it? Or can we determine what was used to write the other words on the clapper?
They look like they've been written in that chalk pen stuff. If you wanted to use a lipstick, you could. If you do that, then you write, so you write 7 next to scene and 3 next to take.
Yeah.
Now you have a fully completed clapperboard.
Clap it. Clap, clap, clap. Does nothing magically happen?
No.
The door doesn't open automatically, no?
No.
No.
Oh, dear. Can we clap it in front of the dolly camera?
Yep, you can.
It's going to go around the room. Just clap, 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 clap everywhere. Okay. What about, because we've got the date as, okay, so we've got year 0, we've got 2-1, we've got a 5-digit code here, 0-2-1.
Year 0 is not going to help us in any way.
I disagree. I'm going to put the code 02173 into the keypad on the door.
All right. You won't. It only allows you to get to the 7 because it only wants a 4-digit code, and the red light comes up and it doesn't open.
Maybe
it's the wrong answer.
Ditch the 0 then.
The wrong answer. All right. We'll do 2173.
The door unlocks. You try to push it open, but it doesn't move. There's something blocking it on the other side. Somebody's tried to barricade you in. You bash with all your weight against it, but you're just not heavy enough to make an impact.
I think we have to use the camera dolly to try and bash our way out.
Doesn't sound like something Director Proofman would say.
I mean, that's potentially a good idea, but A, you don't want to ruin a 5-figure costing camera.
Oh,
and also,
true.
The dolly is attached to rails, and the rails don't go all the way up to the door.
Can we move the rails?
No.
What else can we batter?
We could try using the logs as a battering ram, maybe.
But didn't you say the bones were quite heavy?
Oh, yeah, they're thick, aren't they? Alternatively, we could pick up Mr. Proofman, hold him vertical.
Excuse me?
A good idea.
Horizontal, sorry, and just bash him against the door.
Why me? Why do you think that I should be used for this?
Because we don't like you.
Because you're really annoying.
We still haven't actually used the dolly for anything, though, have we? Can we remove the camera apparatus from the dolly trolley?
You can, and when you do, it does look like there would be space for a log if you wanted to.
Or a director.
Or a director.
I think we should go with a log somehow. Let's weigh the dolly trolley up with logs.
Can we remove it from the rails?
All right, so you carefully, working together, you lift with one at each end of the logs and you pile one onto the dolly. There is more room. Do you want to put another one on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Proofman on.
Proofman.
I refuse to go on.
We can overpower you.
Yeah, there's more of us.
You've got James and two flies on the wall to overpower you.
Yeah, you put another log on, and there's room for another one on top, making a little three log pyramid. So you put three logs on top of the dolly. Still doesn't go to the door, though.
Can we lift it off of the rails? Just have it freewheeling along the ground?
But we already did lift it off the rails, didn't we?
We moved the camera from the wheels.
You took the camera off the dolly, but the dolly is still on the rails.
Now we've piled logs onto the dolly.
That's correct.
Can we just wheel it really fast into the wall, wherever the rails do go? Try and smash another hole out. We don't need doors.
The rails don't go right up to any.
Yeah.
No damage to my film set. What if before we put the effects, take the logs off and then try lifting dolly cart off the rails? Can we do that?
Yeah, if you try to, but your hands quite, they're not just not really getting the leverage you need. It's kind of too heavy and too awkward.
We need to use the bones to lever it off.
Use the tusks.
Tusks even, yes.
Wow, the pointy ends of the tusks lodge quite well underneath, and the dolly pops off of the rails, and now you can roll it around the floor in whatever direction you choose.
At Mr. Proofman.
Yeah.
Oh, let's put the logs back on there, you lot. Go on.
So ram it at the door with all the logs on.
All right, you put the logs back on. You really made that difficult for yourself. Should have done the tusks first, but hey-ho.
But we already had taken it off the rails before we did that.
And the force of your makeshift battering ram explodes through the door and past the object that was blocking it. It was a cabinet, almost twice as tall and as wide as you are. James, you rush out, but you're slightly conflicted on whether or not Mr. Proofman should exit with you. On one hand, they haven't been brainwashed yet, and letting them outside will expose them to the magic mist. On the other hand, leaving them here would be basically abandoning them to be sacrificed. Well, Mr. Proofman, you don't need James to make a decision for you. It should be obvious. The movie is the most important thing to you. If there are some mad cultists running around thinking they're about to summon a real gigantic beast, that's someone else's problem. And no one, not the children of Mysaris or James, is going to drag you out of your studio. Let them try. It doesn't take you long, James, to realise arguing is futile. You'll just have to stop the children before they come for Mr. Proofman. And you think you can do that, you hope. As you head back up the stairs, back down the stairs towards the building's entrance alone, deep in thought about what your next move should be, you spot a flicker of movement out of the corner of your eye underneath the staircase. At first, you think nothing of it. There seems to be others still working here after all. But the sharpness of the movement, the urgency, your security training has given you good instincts when it comes to reading body language. And that movement was the movement of somebody who didn't want to be seen. You keep walking, pretending not to notice anything. Then, at the last second, you whip around and dive into the shadows under the stairs in an ambush. You collide with the hidden person. Your hands fumble and grab at clothing, while the person tries to shove you off, but you've gotten the better of them and you drag them into the light.
Ooh.
It's the new mayor's assistant. Yeah, Missy. You're so shocked you almost let him go. But that's quickly overtaken by excitement. He's the one who started all this. The one who kidnapped Joe, Tom and Rob and got you involved. He's the child of Mysaurus and you've got him here. He looks pretty furious with himself for getting caught, or furious with you, it's hard to tell. Why are you doing this, he demands. The mist isn't affecting you. Why?
Well, maybe the question should be, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
He takes a breath, but you don't loosen your grip on him even for a moment. Fine, he says. Let's talk. It won't do you any good, but let's talk.
Da, da, da.
We did it with no hints.
Yeah, no hints.
Yeah, probably the first one, I think.
And got through pretty quickly. It's
still light outside.
I think this one is a bit similar to the last one in that it's just a bit far-fetched.
Yeah.
Again, there weren't really any like actual logic-y puzzles in there. It was more just like things that really wouldn't work in real life. prizing out a dolly with some tusks or whatever.
I don't know. Right,
maybe that, but other similar things that wouldn't really work in real life that like were... What?
Like, why would the random inscription behind the cave be the code for the dolly? It doesn't make any sense, but like...
Well, no.
In terms of the puzzles,
that doesn't matter. It's not that. It's more this sort of like, well, that wouldn't really be able to work in real life.
You know? Yeah. None of this would work in real life, would it? No, don't start pulling at that thread.
Mm.
For me, the playroom so far has been the most like unbelievable one.
We don't really have any major troubles with this one, though, do we?
No.
Not a huge amount. No, we figured bits of it out.
We did it all in about less than an hour, probably.
About an hour, roughly, yeah.
It was a good one. It all made sense to me. There were no bits where I was like, well, that's stupid. It all felt like it was... fitted together logically.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Joe, do you want to do my outro?
We'll all just do the keep on escaping bit.
All right. Okay, so thank you so much for listening. If you want to help support the podcast, then like it, leave a 5-star review wherever you listen to it, download it, tell all your friends, and just do all of that lovely sharing and caring stuff. But for now, until next time.
Keep on escaping.
You need the little jingle.
The jingle comes after the keep on escaping. We need to do take two of that, I think. Yeah.
Very well rehearsed, was it?
Yeah.
Until next time.
Keep on escaping.
Does the jingle come afterwards?
Yeah. I don't know why you say it so slow. Until next time.
Keep on escaping.
Do, 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 do.